It's a great honor and privilege to come before you today and speak the word. It's one of the things that happened, so that, I don't know if all you guys know, but Bill and David, I don't think have maybe once in the past have ever been on vacation at the same time. So this kind of happened where David and Nancy did a family or a high school reunion, and Bill had a family vacation, and it just kind of happened, and they didn't plan it that way. So it's an honor and privilege to be able to speak to you guys, and we do certainly want to just come before the Lord today. And we're going to look at his word. And I actually have two Sundays to speak and preach the word of God, which I'm excited about. And I'm going to do a two-part message, but I'd like to just pray real quick before we get started. Father, we come before you just loving you and thanking you and blessing your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. As we come before you today and we look at your word about knowing you and loving you, Father, we have been so distraught, is the word I can use, over what is going on around our country and the world. And we need to go to your word, and we need to know you, and know that we have hope, and our hope is in you. We come before you today humbly. You would speak forth your word and encourage us with your word. Strengthen us. And we just commit your word today. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in perilous times. We really are. I mean, and they're going to get worse. And so the Lord laid it on my heart these last few, I'd say several months, that I've been thinking about this. And the Lord laid it on my heart to, we hear the word in God's word, and our pastor speaks of it a lot. Like Don mentioned that other word, but God. There's a word that he uses a lot, and it's to know God. To know Christ. So I thought we would today, this first Sunday, we would really kind of look at that. What does it really mean to know God? I believe our greatest need in our country today is that we know God. That's our greatest need that we have right now, is that we need to really know him. And we're going to break that down today. We're going to look at some verses. We're going to look at, and as I'm speaking, you can turn to Jeremiah 9:23. So keep that open, because we're going to be referring to it. The second part, I'm going to kind of give you a little nugget next Sunday, so you'll all be here. We're going to learn what it is to know the living God today. And next week, we're going to know what it is to fear God and love God. And how do those two go together? How can you fear God and love God? It's very exciting when you see it in the Word of God, what that really means, to fear God and to love him. But we're going to talk today about knowing God. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. And one other verse, I'm going to just give it as a reference. You don't need to turn to it unless you want. Psalms 147:11, if you're taking notes. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:1-5. I'm going to just kind of set the stage of where we're going today in the Word of God. So I'm going to set the stage of where we're at and why is it that it's so vital, so important that we know God today, that we really actually know who He is. And I'm going to set the stage for that so that we will actually see why it's so vital and important. So 2 Timothy 3, and it's 1 through 5. Second Timothy 3:1-5. But know this. There's the word again. I mean, we hear it's all throughout Scripture. Know. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despairers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. No matter where we look today, you turn the news on, whatever, it's perilous. We have terrorism. We have our police officers being shot and murdered, targeted. We have crippling poverty, widespread violence, rampant idolatry, religious confusion, chaos. You can scarcely find a church today that's preaching the truth of God's word. And we'd look through this list right here that Paul wrote to Timothy, and we see those things happening in our society. The Word of God has been replaced with psychology, theology, felt needs, cultural relevance, easy believism, stories. I just read the other day where we have a church in, I think it's in Texas, and they actually spent, I don't know how much money, but they made a whole Disneyland theme inside the church so that they can bring people in with their kids, and their kids will come. We're being entertained and not preaching sound doctrine. By replacing the truth of God's word and not teaching sound doctrine, our world has become ungodly. Depravity and sin is consuming us. We're self-absorbed, self-seeking, self-centered, and self-ruled. Did I miss anything? It's sad. It's really sad. The only reason why I'm smiling, because I know where our hope is. Is our world hopeless? What's happened? What's happened to the nation? What's happened to our churches? What can we do? What can we do? Well, first of all, we need to know who God is. We need to know the living God. We really need to know who He is and what His purposes and will for our life is. These things weigh heavy on us. But our hope, our trust, our confidence is not in this world. It's not in this world. Our confidence is in knowing God and knowing His Son, Jesus Christ, Amen. As our Lord and our Savior. That's our hope. All this perilous stuff that's going to happen and it's coming, it's here. Our hope is in Christ. We don't need to despair. We don't need to be distraught. I know that weighs heavy on all of us because it weighs heavy on me. What's going on? The lack of not knowing God, as Jeremiah said back in verse 24, he says, "Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." So this lack of not knowing, lack of fear of God, which we're going to talk about next week, the lack of fear of God, that's what's happening. I don't know if you've been talking with people and everybody says, what's going on in our country? What is happening? Why is this all happening? There's no knowledge of who God is. There's no fear of God. That's the answer. That's what God's word says. That's the answer. So if you're talking to someone, you're going to know the answer after today of what you can share with them, why this is happening. So not knowing and not fearing God, having a low view of God, is devastating our nation. That's what it is. So being a Christian, following Christ as Lord, always starts with the person and the work of God in knowing Him. So that's where we begin. That's where the Word of God begins. It's knowing God. Hosea 4:6. You don't need to turn there, but Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed or perish for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. I will reject them from being a priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children." So the gospel always starts with God. And one of the things that I'll just give you a real quick is that these are serious consequences that we have for the lack of knowing God, for the lack of fearing God. And that's the consequences that we have right now. We're not following His laws. So I want to say, make this point too. The unbeliever, the person that's not a Christian, they don't have this knowledge yet of God. But as the Word of God is shared and proclaimed, God draws that person's heart to Christ. We, as believers, we already know Christ as our Lord and Savior. But I think what's lacking sometimes is that we don't spend time getting to know God, because Christ has, in His, the salvation and redemption that He's provided for us and justified us, we stand before God righteous and holy, and now we're His children. God is our Father. So we have this personal connection with Him now because of Christ. And that brings us into a fellowship with Him, an adoration for Him. So these consequences that we're facing right now, let me reiterate, it's all because we don't know God and we don't fear God in our nation. And then us as Christians, we're going to see later that there is some consequences for us not getting to know our God. There is some consequences in our lives too that can happen. Not with salvation, we're secured through Christ, but there's consequences in our life that can affect us. So I want to look at one major theme, which you already know what that is now, knowing God. That's a pillar. That's a foundation of truth all through the Word of God. In fact, John, just in one little epistle, 1 John, he uses the word know 40 times just in that little epistle. So it's really important. So we're going to learn what it means to know God through His Word. We're going to learn His attributes. When's the last time you studied His attributes and character? Because without knowing Him, we're stunted. We're stunted as Christians. So we're going to learn about the attributes and character of God. We're going to learn the benefits of knowing God. And we're going to learn the dangers of not knowing God. So if you want to jot those down, it's knowing God, His attributes and character, the benefits of knowing God, and the dangers of not knowing God. Keep Jeremiah there because I'm going to refer to that every so often. So what does it mean to know God? Your view and your understanding of God and mine and the knowledge that we have of God, knowing Him, will affect every area of your life, every area. If you're married, it'll affect your spouse. If you're not married, it'll affect relationships with others. It will affect every area of your life, how you view worship, how you view your work, how you live with coworkers. Do you glorify God in your life when you're not here? It affects everything, how we treat each other. I can't emphasize it enough that how we view God and know God affects how we treat one another and affects every area of our life. So Jeremiah 9:23 again, 24 says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord." Make America great. This says the wise man glories in his wisdom. The wise man glories in his might. The wise man glories in his money. But the true man or woman of God glories in the understanding and knowing God. Mm-hmm. That's what we glory in. We don't glory in America. We glory in God. We give Him the glory, and we get to know Him. So this is interesting. The word know in Hebrew is yada. That's the Hebrew word for know. Just a side note. Kind of funny, because you've heard the old saying, yada, yada, yada. That's where it came from. I know, I know, I know. Don't worry. I know, I know, I know. So that's interesting that it came from that. But here's what the word really means. It's broken down in many contexts in the Bible, and it can mean any one of these things. So it means acknowledging, being acquainted with, being aware of God. Him becoming known to you, bringing forth, bringing forth clear understanding. That word means clear understanding. That's what know means. It's a comprehension. You comprehend it. Experienced, familiar friend, intimate friend. Know for certain. I like that one. Know for certain. Know assuredly. Know well. Understand and be sure. I like that one too. Be sure. Be sure. John 17:3 says it this way. And this is eternal life, that you may know, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So when we know Christ, this is eternal life. Eternal life is a quality of life. And you know what? It doesn't begin after we die. That's the great thing about it. When you have surrendered your life to Christ and He is the Lord of your life, your eternal life, your quality of life starts right there. Because now you are in Christ. So eternal life is Christ in us. It's that glory, that knowing that we know Christ, and that because we know Christ, we know God. If you love Christ, you love God. If you love God, you love Christ. So knowing is a experience too. We hear that from Pastor Bill. But we're going to learn what it really means, the knowing part, intimate, personal. It's forged in your mind and heart that you know, you are certain that you are a child of God and that you know the living God. So we're going to look, this does begin with knowing the attributes. We start with the attributes and character of God, who He really is. What's the mark of a true Christian that knows God? We are devoted. We are confident in our knowing God. We are confident in knowing Christ. We are committed. We trust Him. We depend on Him. I mean, this is great joy. Great joy. Because what's going on around us is not great joy. We have great joy in knowing Christ. We love and worship God as Christians. I'm going to read something real quick. I don't know if you guys have read Bill's book, The Christian, Knowing, Following Christ as Lord. I recommend it highly. It explains to us very well what it is to follow Christ as Lord. It's probably the best explanation to me of any book I've read. So you can get it if you want. I'm not putting in a plug for Bill. He wouldn't like that. This is what he says, and then there's a part where this is what Bill says, and then A.W. Tozier, he quotes A.W. Tozier in here. This is about what it means to worship God. So to know God means to worship Him. That's one of the things that we do. So we need to know what that really means. What does it mean to worship? To worship God means to express love for Him by adoration, reverence, thankfulness, praise, and submission. It's praise, submission, obedience. It is to have our lives overwhelmed and consumed with the wonder, the greatness, and the worthiness of His being. It means a consciousness of His love, which constrains a response for Him of our love. And A.W. Tozier says this, Worship means to feel in the heart. That's first. Feel it in the heart. Worship also means to express in some appropriate manner what you feel and what will be expressed, a humbling but delightful sense of admiring awe and astonishing wonder. It is delightful to worship God, but it is also humbling. And the man who has not been humbled in the presence of God will never be a worshiper of God at all. It's an attitude, a state of mind. It's intensity. It's worship rises or falls with our concept of God. I believe we ought to have, again, the old biblical concept of God, which makes God awful and makes men lie face down and cry out. We're going to be talking about that next week. Fear of God. What's that? What does that mean? We need to cry out, holy, 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 Lord, God Almighty. Then there is admiration. Adoration, admiration. That is the appreciation of the excellency of God. To be filled with moral excitement, to be captivated and charmed with God, struck with astonishment and wonder, the magnitude and splendor of the Almighty God, to love God with all the power within us, and to love God with fear and wonder and yearning and awe. We could end there. Wow. So that is the purpose. That's one of the purposes of God, is to worship Him. But we have our greatest purpose as a Christian is to know God. Because out of that, we will worship. We will adore. We will admire. We will be excited. He will be the passion of our life. When you get to know Him, He will be the passion of our hearts. Amen. The treasure. We will treasure Him. Mm-hmm. We will know His will, and we will glorify Him in our life. As we move on to the attributes, one thing. Remember, knowing about God is very different than knowing Him. The only I can think of, let's just look. I'll look at it. You don't need to turn to it. 1 John. Just a real quick reference in 1 John. 1 John. The reference is 1 John 2:3-6. Verse 3 says, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk as He walked." I mean, that is so powerful. So if we say we know Him, then we need to walk as He walked. We need to have that Christ-like character of life. We need to obey the laws of God. That's so important. That you don't just know about God, but you know Him. And it will reflect in how you live your life. If you want to know if you really know God, watch your life. Examine your heart. Keep track of yourself if you want. Examine your heart. You'll know, because you will see and begin to see that Christ-like character in the way that you live your life. So let's look at some attributes. I'm going to move through these things pretty quickly. These are the attributes and character. And if you want to jot, I'm going to have a couple verses. You can just jot them down if you want, but I'm just going to go move through quick. How great is our God? How great is our God? Behold him. We need to behold him as Christians, that he is great. He's eternal. He has no beginning, no end. Psalms 92 and 1 Timothy 1:17. God has existed forever. Holy. He's holy. Revelations 4:8. He's holy. He's distinct. He's separate. Like no one else. No one else. Without sin. You could say one of a kind. One of a kind. He's unchanging. Never changes who he is. Reference James 1:17, Hebrews 6:17, if you're taking notes. He's infinite. No subject to limitations. Has no limits. All powerful. Omnipotent. Dominion over all his purposes. He governs all our hearts. He governs all our hearts. And there was a verse I was going to read, but due to time constraints, you can jot this down. It's 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. It's basically, Paul has gone through a lot of difficult things, and he's distraught. He has suffered, and we don't even get to identify what it is, but he has suffered to the point of, like, his life feels like it's going to be over. And God, he knows God. He knows the character of God. He knows that God is going to bring him through it. He's going to bring him through it. That God even raises the dead. If God raises the dead... And I'm not talking about us before we knew Christ. We were dead in our sins. But I'm talking about he physically raises the dead. And he created all. So that's the power that we have in Christ and in God. We have that. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is spirit. Jeremiah 23, 24. He's all wise. Knows all, plans all, displays his glory in us. All-knowing, self-existent, he depends on no one. Does not need us. That's pretty humbling. God doesn't really need us, but he loves us. He created us, but he doesn't need us. That humbles us. He's good. He's good. His desires for us are good. He loves us, 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. There's another right there, 1 John. If we don't love, we don't know God. He says that. If we don't love, we don't know God. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's just. And I know everybody loves this one. He's sovereign. Without a sovereign God, we'd be a mess. We'd be a mess. So he's sovereign in all things. He rules. He controls. Ephesians 1:11. Salvation is by God's sovereign grace. He chose us for the foundation of the world. God who gives life to the dead. The passage is Romans 4:17, is an awesome verse. Shows the power of God and the sovereignty. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's awesome. Let's look at the benefits of knowing God. And you can jot these down. We'll move through them quickly. I will give you the reference, but let's look at the benefits of knowing God. We have understanding. That's number one, understanding. Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of God, the Holy One, is understanding." So there it is. There's two pillars right there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of God is understanding. So you don't have wisdom if you don't fear God. That's pretty straightforward. And if we don't have the knowledge of God, we don't have understanding. So what do we see today? No wisdom and no knowledge, because they don't fear God and they don't know Him. That's the answer. So only an understanding of God and the wisdom from God gives us a correct view of reality. A true understanding of God allows us to see who we are and what our need is and the purpose that God has for us. And we know the purpose. It's to glorify Him. Our life should glorify God. Second one, benefit, trust and faith. Psalms 9:10. We have trust. God gives us trust and faith. He gives it to us because we know Him. Those who know, Psalms 9:10 says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for the Lord has not forsaken those who seek you." Those who know your name will put their trust. The more we know about God, His perfect character, and unlimited power, the more we believe Him and trust Him with every aspect of our lives. The more we trust, the more we believe, the more we know the promises of God and we know how great He is and His purposes for us, the more we can trust Him with our life and every aspect of it. Number three, He gives us spiritual strength. Spiritual strength. I might add that these are things that the Christian in... You're already a Christian. This isn't a non-believer. This is a Christian that's getting to know God throughout their life. It's a lifetime. It's a lifelong process. But these are the benefits as a Christian. Spiritual strength. Daniel 11:32. "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great deeds." You're going to carry out great deeds. You're going to be effective for Christ. You're going to be able to glorify God in your life because He gives you the spiritual strength you need. Comes from Him. Stand strong. We got to stand strong today. We can't be weak. No weakness. Our legs buckle. Our knees start shaking. I've done it. I've gotten afraid. We can't be fearful. God is our strength. We need to be the light. We need, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be the salt and the light. We got to be strong. We can't be weak in these times. Stand strong, firm on biblical truth. Don't compromise it. Convictions that you have that God's given you, stand firm on those convictions. To live the Christian life takes strength that is way beyond our own. Way beyond our own. The more we know God, the stronger we will be spiritually. We will commit and live in obedience to God despite all the obstacles, all the trials, all the persecution, and all the suffering. We'll be able to stand strong because God has given us strength, and we know that He's going to carry us through whatever suffering, whatever persecution, whatever trial. Just like Don read this morning, David's distress. When he was stressed, who did he go to? He went to God. The whole Psalms practically is written. His prayer and his heart to God. We don't go to the news. You know, we don't go to a novel. You know, we don't go to, you know, I mean, you could go to your grandmother or grandfather's house or your mom or dad's. It might help. Depends on who they are. We go to God. You got to get on your knees before the Lord. We got to pray. There's a proclamation. There's a I like Paul Washer says this. I don't know if you guys know Paul Washer, but he quotes this a lot. He says, we have a spiritual warfare going on. There's spiritual warfare. And our I guess what you want to call our what we use in our life, okay, to combat that, okay? We need to combat spiritual warfare because the enemy's all around. He's hitting us from everywhere. Well, the way that you do that is with the proclamation of the Word of God. So in order for us as Christians to proclaim the Word of God, we have to know God. We got to know what we're proclaiming. And we really got to know that by getting into the Word, spending time in prayer. I fail at it. All of us probably do. I do. But I know when I do get into prayer and I spend that time with God, He renews my heart. He strengthens me. He gives me comfort to stand and withstand what's coming, or to be able to deal with whatever persecution or trial or suffering or physical, whatever it is. So we need to stand firm. So we proclaim the gospel, but we got to know God, okay? Then there's intercessory prayer. That's the other, what we battle spiritual warfare. So we proclaim the gospel, we have intercessory prayer, that's prayer, and then we love unconditionally. Those aren't exhaustive, but those are just three major things that you do as a Christian. So you're always proclaiming the gospel. You live the gospel in your life. You have intercessory prayer for what's going on, for others, for people, for each other. And we love unconditionally, even the lost. We love. It's hard sometimes, but we love. And we grieve over the lostness of our world and the lostness of our neighbors. We grieve over that, and we should. Fourth thing, moving on. We can know the will and purposes of God. Benefits of knowing God, fourth thing, we can know the will and purposes of God. That's the fourth. Therefore, or Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Don't be foolish. Don't be unwise. And that word foolish doesn't mean you're unintelligent. Okay? When it says foolish there, I looked that up. It doesn't mean that you're unintelligent. It means someone that does not seek after knowing God. That's the fool. Amen. God's will is His purposes, plan. His will, His purposes, His plans, His desire. That's what we seek. That's what we live for. That's what we obey. So we live according to God. The world lives according to themselves. So we live with the purposes of God on our heart to glorify Him. Fifth, perseverance. We get perseverance. Anybody here need perseverance? us. We got to persevere, but we can't do it on our own. We persevere. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Paul's talking to Timothy. But I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed in. There's the word know. I know. So change that word too to sure. I'm sure who I have believed in. And I am confident that He, God, is able to keep, guard us, what He has entrusted to us until that day. God's going to keep us. He's going to guard us. He has given us this life in Christ. He has given it to us. So He's not going to let you go. He's going to guard and keep you. Just like Paul, all through the suffering, he knows that it's the love that Christ has for him that compels him. So it's our love for God that compels us to move forward. Keep going each day. Paul wrote this right before he was to die as a martyr. He wrote that very verse. And soon he was hung. He was hung. But he remained faithful. He persevered. He remained faithful to Christ. He did not deny his faith. He stood bold, unashamed, and confident in Christ. Boy, we need that today, because it's really difficult out there. We need that. We need to know that we can have confidence and boldness. And we can come before the Lord, and He will carry us through. He will persevere in us. We will persevere. So real quickly, I just want to, that's five things in the benefits of knowing God. And then I'm going to move through these dangers too, because these are the dangers of not knowing. This can be to the unbeliever. If you don't know God and you have not given your heart and life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, perilous doom, judgment, eternal separation from God. But also as a Christian, some of these things you can intertwine with being a Christian and the dangers of not knowing God, not pursuing God in your life. Don't be complacent. And I've been there. I'm speaking from experience. I'm not speaking because I've been there. I've been complacent. Those who know me know in the past that I've been complacent. But God has done a work in my heart. So we're going to look at the dangers. One of them is we remake God in our own image. If you don't have a correct view of God, you start thinking who He is in a different way than what He really is. A Christian can do that. These things you have done, Psalms 50:21 is the reference. Remaking God in our own image. These things you have done, and I kept silent. God speaking. You thought I was just like you. I will rebuke you. You think you're like God? Mm-hmm. No. You're in submission to God. He is the authority in our life. Not us. When you come to Christ and surrender your life to Christ, He's the authority. Not us. And God makes it clear, I will rebuke you. In the absence of true knowledge of God, man will form his own opinions and remake God in his own image. It always results in a deformed or degraded view of God. And sometimes we can just get complacent and we start thinking that, I think we lose a little bit of fear. We lose some fear of God sometimes. I think we need to keep that at the forefront. that fear of God, the awe-ness, and the honor and reverence. We need to have a reverence for God. Second danger of not knowing God, false worship. Many non-believers do a lot of false worship, but a Christian sometimes can not, when you don't know God, you can be led astray into not knowing what true worship is, because there's a lot of teaching that's not giving us the true meaning of what it means to worship. And as we learned what worship was earlier, we can see what that really is and what it means. So John 4:22 is the reference. It says, you worship what you do not know. It's pretty simple. And if you don't know God, you're really not worshiping God. You're not worshiping Him. Remember, to know God is to worship Him. Worship is to express love, adoration, reverence, thankfulness, praise, submission, obedience. That's worship. That's a worshipful heart. It's a worshipful life. It's our life that worships. Just because we're here doesn't mean you can worship. You could be sitting here and not worshiping if you don't know God. You could be in, you're in church, but you could not be worshiping. But you think you are because you don't know Christ. It's only those who know Christ and know God. Only those who know Christ know God, and only those who know God can worship with the right heart. Our lives need to be overwhelmed, consumed with the wonder and greatness and the worthiness of God. I'm reiterating some of these things just so you hear them again. Our true worship from our hearts, adoration, devotion, will rise and fall with the view and our concept or thinking of God. That's so wonderful to hear that from God's Word, to know that. Each of these verses that I'm giving, you guys can look those up. Idolatry occurs whenever we worship or devote to anything or anyone other than the living God. If you're devoted to something else, or you worship something else, you better examine your heart. Because other than the living God, it can be idolatry. Third thing, unbelief. Lack of trust. Unbelief can creep in sometimes to it, you know. Doubts. we all do. It can creep in sometimes. Doubt and unbelief. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? So there's that proclamation. That's the proclamation of the Word of God, and living it in our life is the power of God unto salvation. It's the proclamation of God. That proclamation of the gospel is what brings the lost sinner into the kingdom of God. God works in that heart and brings him to Himself. It only happens through the power of God. So we got to know what that proclamation is. We need to know God. To the Christian's faith, the trust in God and our faith is necessary. It's very necessary to live the Christian life. We have to have that trust and that faith to live the Christian life. Psalms 9:10, here's one other reference under belief. a lack of trust. Psalms 9:10 says, only those who know God will put their trust in him. Number four, danger of not knowing. We can have an indifference or an apathetic view of sin. That's devastating our country today, this one right here. We have an indifference. We have an apathetic view of sin. We don't see it as, it's almost like it's oblivious sometimes. And we're so afraid to proclaim the word of God out of love for that person. And sometimes we don't see it in our own lives. We have to examine our own hearts. Because sometimes we can get apathetic about our own sin also, not just the sin of, well, I know that guy's a sinner. He needs to be saved. But Christians do sin. We fall into sin, and we can be apathetic. You can't habitually sin, but you can get apathetic and sometimes fall into sin. So this verse, indifferent, 1 Corinthians 15:34. He says, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Don't be apathetic. Awake to righteousness. That's our goal. We're to live righteous and holy. Don't be apathetic about how you live your life. Don't be in a stupor. That's what I call it, a stupor. That's apathetic, stupor. If there's a habitual pattern of sin in your life or apathy, I would examine your own heart to see if you really are saved. I would examine your heart. If you're a true Christian, you will be sober-minded. Sober-minded, not apathetic. You'll recognize your sin, the importance of living holy and righteous. Don't be shameful and sinful, because the mark of a true Christian who knows God will be a Christ-like life. It's a Christ-like life. Five, lawlessness. This is the fifth one. Danger. This is being in a state of living apart from the law or will of God. That's lawlessness. Living as if God had no law or had never given his law to us. This is one of the most grievous consequences of the ignorance of God. Ignoring God and his laws. Proverbs 29:18 and Romans 1:18 through 32. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation of God, the people are unrestrained. But happy is he who keeps the law. What we see today is what? Unrestrained. We're lawless. I can go on and on about examples of our lawlessness, especially in our government. But I don't have time. That's lawlessness. We see it. It's being in a state of living apart from the law or will of God. Submission to God. It's about submission to God. He's the authority in our life. Do you see the similarities as I'm going through these in our country? What's happening and why it's so perilous right now? Those are the similarities. Those are because we don't know and we don't fear God. The last one in the danger, of number six. And this is mainly to the unbeliever. And not mainly, it is. This is to the unbeliever. Divine judgment and destruction. This is the most frightening consequence to me. If you are not saved, if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's divine judgment and destruction coming. Hosea 4:6 says, remember I read it earlier, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They perish. Not knowing God, not loving Him, not submitting to Him, not coming before Him in humility and obedience. They're going to perish. And that's why we grieve. We have to grieve over that. We don't grieve at all the sin that's out there. We grieve because they're lost. That's why we grieve about our neighbors and our coworkers. We see the devastation and consequences today in our own society and around the world. Ungodliness and sin and depravity. The rejection of God, refusing to bow the knee as God is our creator. They don't bow the knee to God, submitting to Him as Lord. They don't submit. The wrath of God is anger and punishment. That's the wrath of God. That's what's coming for those who are not believers. We're in grave danger today. We don't have the knowledge of God. We don't fear God. We don't know Christ. And that's why we're in the state we're in. Romans 1:18 says, we have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. We've suppressed it. Romans 1:30 says, haters of God. There's people hate God. It's hard for us to believe, but there's people that hate God. They're hostile to God. Romans 8:7, hostile to God. Without Christ, they're going to face the wrath of God and divine judgment without Christ. Our only hope is Christ. We can rejoice. We can rejoice. If you know Christ, we rejoice. He's our hope. And in knowing Christ, we can know God. And we have a life that glorifies Him. Our life then glorifies God. The good news of the gospel, we can go out and proclaim it. But you got to be sure of what you're proclaiming. Know it. Remember, be sure. Know it. So you're proclaiming the word of God. Paul says in Romans 1:16, most of you know it probably, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. That's the power of God to salvation. Coming to Christ by grace through faith and repentance, submitting to Christ as Lord, turning from self-rule to love and obedience to Christ. This is a new life. You have a new relationship with Christ. You know God because of Christ. So it's a lifelong pursuing, pressing into Him. We are reconciled to God. Because of Christ, we're reconciled. We have forgiveness of sins. We have eternal life, as we've learned. We stand before God righteous because of Christ. Because of Christ, we know God in an intimate, personal way as our Heavenly Father who can spend we can now spend the rest of our life here and in heaven getting to know God. Worshiping, adoring Him. What a great joy to rejoice. Shout. Shout it out. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And we can shout it out. O my soul. O my soul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to you. In these perilous times, Father, we can come before you as our Father that loves us, comforts us, strengthens us. And we have able to persevere through these perilous times, the trials and sufferings, only because of Christ. And because we know you, because we know Christ. Father, may we, as believers here, our body, may we press into you. May we press forward, be on our hands and knees, praying before you, seeking you. Seeking you first, loving you first, treasuring you with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. We love and praise you and thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.